All I'm saying is don't give my girl your number no more.
What?
Don't give my girl your number no more, man.
Who your girl, baby?
Listen, man, listen. You wild easy to get, son. You know what I'm saying? I've been to jail twice, man, and I'm not scared, and I love, and I want to go back. You understand what I'm saying? So don't give my girl your number no more, man.
Come on, babe, with all that, yo.
When the smoke clears, man, Puff Daddy and all them niggas you running with, man, ain't gonna be there, man. And neither will you, man. So I'm gonna close it off like that, B. You know what I'm saying?
Whatever, B.
I'm gonna leave it like that, son.
All right, man.
Hey, you know who it is. The Jesus vs. Mero show. It's your boy, Jesus Nice, a.k.a. Young Chipotle. Pocket stay fat like Terrio. I see you keeping it 100. Stay late, dog. One.
Yeah! What it do, man? This is Billy D. Braille, man, a.k.a. Mr. Talking, man. Slide through, man. Shout out to Frocast, man. The guy, Paul Strickland, man. What it do, man? Holler back, man. Talking TV, checking there, man. Shout out to the Frocast and the whole crew. Yeah. Keep talking your talk.
What's up, Frocast? This is Miss Pele, the wonderful Amazonian from the West Coast. Just wanted to say what's up. Peace!
Yo, what's up, world? It's Pug Zadders, a.k.a. Euro P, a.k.a. Mr. Iridium, live from Chicago. And you know you got to roll with NappyAfro.com. Everything you need, hip-hop, soul, dope music, dope blogs, dope requests, dope stuff. That's all I got to say. I'm out of here.
Hey, what up? It's Killer Mike checking in at NappyAfro.com. Make sure you keep it 100. One time rap game, bang, bang, bang. Run the jewels on food, and I'm gone. Yeah.
NappyAfro.com.
You're now tuned into the longest running podcast on the Nappy Afro Network. This is the Frocast. I'm your host, King Germ, a.k.a. the People's Champion, a.k.a. the most electrifying motherfucker in podcasting today, a.k.a. the next door neighbor of Danny Tanner, a.k.a. LeBron Flames, a.k.a. the King of the Lames, a.k.a. the illegitimate son of Carl Weathers, a.k.a. Hacksaw Jim Thuggin, a.k.a. Germ Cena, a.k.a. Pod Strickland, a.k.a. Fat Sajak, a.k.a. the Brooks Bandit, a.k.a. Mr. Sensible Shoes, a.k.a. Bill Goldberg in the bedroom, a.k.a. Smoking Germ Frazier, a.k.a. the best there is, the best there was, the best ever will be, a.k.a. Bread DiBiase, a.k.a. Rowdy Potty Piper, a.k.a. you can't fit this hustle inside of a rapper, a.k.a. the Duke of Dignity, and my last a.k.a. Ravish Rick Rude. Now cut the music. What I'd like to have right now is for all you suffering from pollen, runny eyes, scratchy throats, as podcasters, keep the noise down while I take my robe off and show you what a real podcast sounds like. Now hit the music. I'm now joined by my lovely co-host, the elegant, the daunting, the always be shopping, the problematic yet well-spoken, Queen Germ. Say what's up to the people.
What's up, people? It's your girl, Queen Germ, a.k.a. Miss Savannah, a.k.a. I'm educated yet ignorant, a.k.a. the Queen of QVC, a.k.a. Bipolar Mom, a.k.a. I hear no one, a.k.a. my cuffs runneth over, a.k.a. $3 is $3, a.k.a. a lot of crass with a dab of class, a.k.a. my afro is my halo, and my favorite a.k.a. of them all.
Your grade is your motherfucking grade.
And I'm in the building.
Queen Germ's in the building, everybody. Like always, don't forget to rate, subscribe, download the Frocast on any podcast reader. We on them all. You can go to Good Pods. You can go to Frocast.com. You can go to anywhere. Spotify, Apple. It doesn't matter. The Frocast is there. We also have a voicemail. You can call in at 347-201-2572. Leave voicemail. We'll play it on the show. The Patreon will be jumping back in April. We think we're going April. We're shooting for April to get the Patreon back. But like I said, you can always go to nappyafro.club for the Patreon. And if option A, B, or C didn't tickle your fancy, there is option D. Just retweet it, reblog it, add it to your story, tag us in the story, and we might shout you out. We had a lot of people showing us love last week, so we want to thank all those that did. We appreciate it. We appreciate it because sharing is caring. Now, Queen Germ, all the pandering is out of the way. I got to ask you, how was your week?
Week was pretty good. The whole sick leave is, I guess, coming to an end, but not necessarily. I'm working from home, but that means I'm really in it for real now. But, you know, it's all good. Trying to stay up and still recover and not take on too much of, you know, physical responsibility. So it's going good. Kids were on spring break last week. Everybody was on spring break, actually, last week. And now we back in the swing of things. So just trying to bob and weave and get through this week successfully till the next time.
I tell you what, getting up Monday morning to go to work was a fucking chore these last 2 days. And it's not for lack of sleep. It's just that week off, I don't know if I got spoiled.
Oh,
sleeping
did.
Late.
And you did. Sleeping whenever you wanted to.
I don't know if it's that time change that is dragging on.
Like, that's all of it.
And it's because when I wake up in the morning, it's pitch black. And that shit throws me off because it's like, what the hell's going on?
It's been
on?
Pitch black for all
the
year.
Sun, I don't know. It seemed like the sun used to come up early or something. I don't know. It wasn't like...
The time of morning you're supposed to get up, it's dark. It's going to be dark every time.
And it might be them curtains in the room, these blackout curtains that... have it too dark. I don't know what's going on, but I got to figure it out quick.
Yeah, quick.
Because it's, even if I go to bed and get a lot of sleep, I still is like, oh God. And it's, I don't know what's going on. So,
yeah, you got to figure your rhythm.
You got to figure, get back in the rhythm. I said by Wednesday, I should be fine. At the time of this recording, it's Tuesday.
That's tomorrow.
And that's tomorrow. So Wednesday, I think my body should be back in.
Well, I'm glad you sound better than you did yesterday.
Though. Oh, man, this problem was kicking my fucking ass.
Like, because I didn't know. I said, this nigga here done gone, got the COVID, now he finna have me sick. This shit is not okay.
I was okay yesterday to about 2:30. Next thing I know, that my damn nose started running, my eyes got to burning. And that pollen jumped on me.
Did you take some allergy medicine?
I took some allergy medicine last night.
Oh, okay. Because I was just like, come on, bro.
When I got home, I took some because I didn't know if that stuff would keep you up or whatever. But it actually made me drowsy.
Yeah, I figured it would.
And you know what I'm saying? Because today, I could not stay awake for anything. And it was, I was driving. And I mean, every stoplight, I'm putting my head on the side just to steal a little couple of seconds of man, I got back to work after doing my run today. I know I slept for a good hour. I mean, I was bundled up. I had my jacket on, my hoodie on, I had my blanket. I woke up, it was like 1:30. I said, oh, shit. You know what I'm saying?
So you slept through lunch?
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I was like, I wasn't even... Sleep was what I wanted to eat. I wanted to eat sleep.
I guess so.
I was like, I don't want no
you
gotta food.
You got to get yourself back on track, sir.
Yeah, because it was just like, I bought some food, didn't even eat it. I couldn't eat it. I was like, you know what I'm saying? I took the... It doesn't matter what I ate, but I didn't eat it. I put it in the trash can. I would have gave it to my coworker, but he's on the shit list, so he'd never get nothing from me again. But you know,
until y'all come around again,
I'm never coming around to him again. He's a fucking idiot, and I saw that today. I hate him.
Oh, don't hate him.
Yes, I do. I hate him.
Don't hate him. Please don't hate him.
Because the motherfucker today. Now we was trying to figure out where this package went. Now he says it goes this one area, and I was like, how did you get that? He was like, well, it says this. I said, so you ignored all the other three signs that it's on your side, that this person, even his boss, it said, you skipped over all that bullshit and said, well, it says he was here. The motherfucker work at the prison, okay? His boss is in workforce development. So why wouldn't he work in workforce development? It says it's right there, workforce development programs, but you skip over all that and say, I said, boy, so I called the lady up. I said, hey, excuse me, ma'am. Is this person under you? She said, yeah. So do we bring his stuff to you or do we? Oh, you bring it to me. I said, thank you very much. Just to show his stupid ass that he's a fucking idiot. And I can't stand
it. He's your idiot.
No, he's not. I swear I can't wait. Something got to give. But, you know, everybody hates their coworkers. We might do a show about that next time. Talk about our coworkers that we hate. Past and present.
Okay.
He might be my most hated coworker I've ever had.
And I don't know why. But.
Because he's a fucking idiot. And I told you, it's like looking at him like, damn, this fucking idiot and me is in the same place. And that shit pisses me the fuck off because there ain't no fucking way this fucking idiot, he's an idiot. Like, I'm not, this is an understatement. Me calling him an idiot is a compliment. Because this motherfucker here, whoo, shit. But let me stop. Yeah. We got a show to do tonight, folks.
Let's get into it.
So that's all about our weeks. Let's get into this outline, man. And y'all know how we start every show around here. What's on the timeline? What's on the timelines? We talk about those issues that have been dominating our headlines. You know, that thing that everybody's been talking about on your damn feed, whatever it is, Twitter, whatever you use. You know what I'm saying? This week, I'm going to say it's Chloe Bailey's sex scene in Swarm. Now, you know who Chloe Bailey is, correct?
Uh-huh. The young singer.
So she's in this show called Swarm. I haven't watched it yet. You know, I think it's made by Donald Glover. They say it's kind of like Atlanta. Everybody's talking about it. But the big thing they talk about was she has this sex scene. Now, it's your first role, I guess. Would you go all out in a sex scene?
I don't think so. I feel like I got to give the people a little something to work up to. Like, you know, tease it a little bit. You know, maybe show a little nipple or something.
Yeah, because, I mean, you don't really see her but for a split second. So she could have got a body double and saved her, you know. I don't know.
But she wanted to do it.
But I guess she wanted to do it. Like, and this is another thing about Chloe Bailey. I've never seen somebody that wants to be a thot so bad. And it just seems like she does everything. I don't know what this good girl image that she's trying to escape from. But she's doing her best to escape from it. And I just don't understand. Like, what is the appeal? Like, you know you can make money by being straight edge. You don't have to go out there and thot it out.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Especially if you actually have a skill. So... That should be the last thing that you have to resort to if you have actual talent. So either you letting us know that, you know, you've been lying to people all along and you don't really have talent.
Maybe her talent is a thotty. Thotting.
Hey, it might be.
It's a lot of women out there who that's their talent.
It really is.
And it's very lucrative.
Yeah, but
shout out to those ladies. I mean, I wouldn't want to be, you know, I'm probably going to catch flack for this. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean... It should be a limit. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be all out there like that. It's not liberating. It's not
I mean, but if the people think that is...
It's not a form of expression.
It can
your
be.
Your ass just out.
It can be, though.
How?
I mean, if that's
explain
what somebody...
Explain to me what kind of...
It's for anybody. It's some men who like to have their ass out. So if that's what you feel makes you free and makes you feel like, you know, you've... change the game and all these types of things, then yeah, like, I mean, I don't have an issue with you doing it for that purpose of self-expression, if that's what you say, but how much do you express yourself nakedly? I mean, naked, I don't think that there's a need for you to always be naked or always find the spotlight for you to put some piece of your body in it.
Lala, she's talking to you.
Just talking. But I just don't think that that's necessary for people to do it, you know what I'm saying, repeatedly, but I just feel like in most cases... A big part of it is you don't have the right type of mentors. People that are around you
Beyonce's
should be
her mentor.
You, okay, again. People that are around you should be able to, you know, steer you in the right direction and knowing that this is not going to be something that you're going to look back on and be that proud of. I just wouldn't think that it's something that's worth doing.
Question. So if you were an actress, could you do a sex scene in a movie?
I probably could, but it would have to be something that was meaningful. But sex scenes are not usually that.
No, it's not at all. Like I told you, I think they're useless in shows. Nobody, we don't need sex scenes. We don't.
I mean, but they know, you know the reason why they're there, because sex sells. So if you can give some little sexual stimulation to the main audience that you have, then that'll keep people tuned in. And they don't even know why they're tuning in. It ain't even got to be full out sex. You just see some stuff going on that gets you aroused. And then the people be tuning in every day and they don't even think about, you know, the reason why I like this show so much because they all half naked and bouncing around at the beach.
So question, could you handle your spouse being a actor and having sex scenes?
No.
I mean, would
no.
But that's how he pays the bills.
I mean, that's not okay.
You just fast forward through that part of the movie?
I don't think I'm a fan. I would not be a fan of any such movie that does that.
Okay, so just kissing. It's just like he's in a rom-com.
I mean, I can see if he, like, okay, if you say kissing something, but you're saying a full-out sex scene, so a sex scene is something that I can't...
But it's really not really sex. It's padding between them. There's nothing there.
Yeah,
it's
but
just...
I don't like that, because a lot of people who have sex scenes, like, you know, Martin and Gina fell out about the kissing, and he stuck his tongue down her throat, so they said...
I thought Gina said she lied about that.
I don't know what she said. I know when I knew about it, it was supposed to have been real, and it happened.
Well, you know, that was before the internet. Before the internet, we couldn't...
verify,
you know,
nothing.
Yeah, we can verify nothing. You know what I'm saying?
But nonetheless, the fact is, things happen.
Yes.
And so the fact that you even work with somebody, it's people.
What you think
who,
is it going to slip in there or something?
It can be anything, because you work with people. People get real comfortable with people that they work with. You're around them all the time.
Yeah, we shoot this movie for 3, 4, 5 months.
Exactly. For that reason, at some point in them 3 to 5 months, my dick might have got up in it, or it got hard by it. I got aroused by you being up underneath me for whatever reason. And so then
they do everything to keep that from happening.
They don't.
They have all kinds of padding between
them. Nature.
But it's like,
if I'm in there fresh out the shower, smelling good every episode, every scene, whatever, I'm swinging my hair in your face, I'm looking up in your eyes, I'm doing all of the whatevers, and even if I might actually want you to stick it up in me, you don't know from person to person what your co-worker trying to do. They might want to see what that thing all about. With that being the case, me as your spouse, you ask me how I would feel,
yes,
what I would want. I would not want my husband to be an actor in that capacity. You could be an actor.
So you tell him you got to turn that role down.
Yeah.
But what if it's a big plan? Like, listen, this is the role. They're going to pay me this. But you know,
I just feel like certain things don't have a price. And my sanity and my, you know.
But it's acting. It's not even real.
Okay, but at the same time, that's a price. You putting that out there for the public. So now that people see you as a sex symbol, now I got to deal with that too. Now you got even more fans, people thirsty and excited to see what's underneath the covers with you. And So I'm like, no, I just don't feel like that's necessary. You don't have to have that as a role. It's so many acting roles that you can have that don't have nothing to do with you having sex with nobody. So why is it that your whole career, this is the role for me, this is the perfect
role for you. You're the man for this role.
Okay.
We want to pair you with this woman, and y'all going to make magic.
Mm-mm. That sounds like a porn. So no. No thank you.
So yeah. So if you Chloe Bailey's mother right now, what are you telling her? She's grown.
Yeah, but I mean, you still, as a parent, should be still a parent. And you can't go with, again, people look at the dollar signs and say, oh, well, it don't matter. You made enough money off of it. So if they talk about you for it, it doesn't matter. You rich. They can call you what they want, but they can't call you broke.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, it don't matter about the money, because, again, you're going to have random people walking up to you like, oh, you a hoe. You were this, that, and the third. Now they're trying to rub up on you or do whatever. So I just feel like it's not the image that you want, unless that's what you want.
Mm. Well, we want to know what y'all think about the Chloe Bailey scene. Is she going too far? Is she doing too much too soon? What do you think? Because it took us years to see Halle Berry's titties. You know what I'm saying? And now, you know, I guess it's a different time now where, you know what I'm saying, titties ain't shit. Like, you see them on TV.
All the time.
Yeah. You like, they just let you breastfeed on Facebook now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's ridiculous. So titties ain't shit. So we want to know how y'all feel about this Chloe Bailey scene.
I mean, the people would say that y'all be acting like, you know, people can't be out here breastfeeding and y'all get so weirded out.
Like,
why
is it weird to see a woman breastfeeding in public? Like, why is that weird?
That's nutrients for the baby.
Yes, I'm feeding my baby. Why is it such a weird thing?
Why did you choose to do that in here?
He's hungry now.
Okay.
What am I supposed to tell him? To wait till we get home in a private place? Yeah. No, I'm going to whip this fucking titty out right here in the middle of the goddamn mall, and I'm going to sit on this bench and dare somebody to look at me while I got my titty hanging out and I'm feeding my baby. Who's the weirdo? Me or you?
You. I mean, it's a time and a place for everything. You knew your child needed to eat. Your child should be on the schedule. That's another thing. Your child should be on the schedule. If you fed that child before y'all came into this mall, that child is not hungry.
Yeah, he worked up an appetite being in the mall.
He ain't buy shit.
He seen that titty. He said, Mama, I'm hungry again. He just like that kid when you walk by the damn cookie place. You just got through eating, but you see a cookie, you want a cookie. He just got through eating. He seen that titty. He wants some more milk. Mm-hmm. That's all it was.
And so if while he eating, somebody else walking by peeking, then don't be mad. That's all.
Hey, you're the weirdo for looking at me feeding my baby. This is natural.
Okay, so is it so like, natural? Let me watch.
I mean, I think women been breastfeeding for years. I mean, it's just
for the generation.
I've never seen it in public as much as it is now. Like, it's just
everything want to be normalized.
Yes,
and that's the problem.
Women used to be like discreet about things. Now the discretion is gone. You know what I'm saying?
And I mean, even the people will put the little cloth over the baby head.
Yeah,
you know that's what's happening.
Why should I? But, now I'm torturing my baby. He likes to be free and suck on this titty.
Okay.
He likes to breathe in through his
nose.
Yeah,
it ain't so much. It ain't much breathing. If your titty's big enough, they struggling already. Mm. So you don't have to tell me that lie.
That one woman, she was breastfeeding with one titty, just pulled the other one out. I said, "That was the point of that." And I said, "That you're the what was the point of that? Like, you just pulled the other one." I'm like, Well, what are you doing here? Like, what?
Said
like,
it had the milk got the flow. So yeah, you know, I guess she was trying to grab you on one side.
I guess, or she was getting the other one ready. Because he can latch on to the other one. Like,
got
to
do this thing even.
Hey, man, wild story.
Yeah, so much fun.
Your vice president, she threw a Women's History Month brunch, and she invited some people that are ladies that made strides in womenry. You know, if that's a word. And a couple of the attendees were Megan Thee Stallion and Lori Harvey. Now, if you're doing something, you're the vice president. United States of America. You're doing a Women's History Month brunch. Why the fuck are you inviting Meg Thee Stallion and Lori Harvey? What the fuck have they done to push women forward?
You must be trying to get the attention of the young audience that they may attract. But I don't understand, because before you put it on the timeline, I mean, put it on the outline, I didn't even know this thing happened. So apparently, I mean, maybe I'm just in the dark, but even still, I just feel like they would not have done significant enough stuff to sit on a panel with people who have. Like,
yeah, I just think there's other women in the United States that you could have got up there. I understand they don't have the draws like, you know what I'm saying, draws, and I'm talking about people.
Not the following.
Yeah, they don't have the following that a Meg or a Lori Harvey has, but I think you could have did better with the choices.
Did a lot better.
Because Meg's, like, you don't want to be involved with Meg Thee Stallion. You're not saying it's bad business, but it's just
you're
vice president. Like, you want to be taken seriously, and you invite Meg Thee Stallion, like, I mean, now luckily Meg had on something that was very, you know,
conservative.
Yeah, she had a dress that was down to her ankles. She didn't look like a hot girl summer at all. I mean, she did take a picture with the tongue out with the vice president, and I'm just like,
but that's who she is.
That's
she
who
was
she is.
True to herself.
That's who she is. I get it. Lori Harvey went dressed in one of her daddy suits. One of the Steve Harvey suits, and she, you know, glammed it up to make it look like a womanly suit, but I still don't understand what Lori Harvey does and why she's there, you know what I'm saying, at all. Like, what?
I mean, especially when she ain't even his child.
I mean, you know, but I just want to know, like, is this what we doing? Like, this is what we doing. I understand the White House ain't no place that, you know, of hallowed grounds or nothing like that. But, I mean, come on now. I mean, you already had, Obama had Rick Ross, Pusha T, and all them niggas up in there. Now you got goddamn Meg Thee Stallion and Lori Harvey up in there. Now, it wasn't at the White House. It was at the Vice President's mansion or whatever they call it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But still, I just want to know, what the fuck was Meg doing there? Like, you need to be clear away from her. Somebody's talking about when her and Kamala took the picture together, they said, like, two people that love locking niggas up. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
But, you know, shout out to them, Women History Month brunch, doing great things, Vice President Harris.
I mean, hey, your time is winding up, so.
Yeah, it's getting close, because 2024
wrap
coming.
Wrap that shit on up.
You know what I'm saying? I can say, I don't think y'all going to be in the White House.
Oh, no.
Going forward. No,
they
You know
not.
What I'm saying? Cause it's
it
not,
ain't happening.
It ain't happening. You enjoy your time.
Yeah.
You got one more whole good year.
To get your shit and pack
yes,
it up.
Yes. Don't make no major changes around there, because the next person going to come in and change all that up. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. That's all I'm going to say about that. I get a lot of hate mail saying that I hate Meg, and I really don't. It's just that I just wish they would, she would clean her image up.
Yeah, well, she got a long way to go.
Yeah, she does. I mean, you know, and like I said, I wish her nothing but the best success in the world. You know, just rap about something else besides your pussy. I mean, please, show me some growth. Show me some growth. That's all I want. Donnie McClurkin, we got to pray for him. Donnie McClurkin, as y'all know, We Fall Down, But We Get Up singer, right? That's him, ain't it?
Yeah.
He said he is still struggling after being delivered from his attraction to men. Donnie McClurkin's preference has been a topic of discussion for years. The gospel legend and spiritual leader has been open about his struggles throughout his decades-long career. Donnie says the urges to be with men have stayed with him over the years, but his commitment to his Savior has not allowed him to act on them. Donnie McClurkin first opened up about his preference in 2002. At the time, McClurkin blamed his attraction to men on a terrible experience he suffered at a young age. The gospel singer says that early exposure to adult content and interaction with men is what made him attracted to men. Donnie says he was violated at the age of 8. Before I could ever know the purpose of pleasure of a woman, have my first date, or even my first kiss, the wound was inflicted and the seed was planted. Through will and prayer, Donnie has turned the tide on his desire for men. Rejecting his lifestyle, Donnie has said, I've been through this and have experienced God's power to change my lifestyle. I am delivered, and I know God can deliver others too. The 63-year-old was engaged for a time to Nicole C. Mullen, and the two had plans to walk down the aisle. Mullen is a fellow Christian artist who is known for songs like Don't Let Me Go. The pair entered a relationship in 2013. Unfortunately for Donnie, his deep-seated desire to be with men made the union hard. That ain't all that got hard.
But he, I mean, at least he's being honest about it.
Honest?
He's saying he still got a love for men.
He said, but I mean, won't he just say that the whole trying to be with the woman thing was just,
ain't real.
That's not it. Like, you can be a Christian and be gay. It's okay. You know, that Bible don't mean what you think it means. If you love God, that's your relationship with God. Regardless of the fact of what the Bible says, you can be a Christian and be gay. The tambourine player, the piano player, it's been gay niggas in churches forever. Popes, preachers, deacons, all that shit. Don't nobody say nothing to them niggas. But this nigga openly gay and it's a problem. I don't understand.
I mean, he the one got a problem with it. Because he ain't the one living in his truth. So if he's sitting right here telling you he's struggling with these feelings.
He's struggling.
So it sounds like
what
he,
is it? Like, what,
he
like,
out
like,
there tampering with somebody son out there in the streets.
Ooh, like he try. Like I mean, what you mean you struggling?
I mean,
you struggle to pay bills. You don't struggle with your desires. Your desire is your desire. If you want man meat, go get it, Mr. McClurkin. Ain't nobody in the room with you.
Hey, the man said he is trying to do his best, and he feels convicted by what he knows of the way he's supposed to live, and for that reason, he's struggling with these feelings. I mean, and I understand it's just the thing of gay, being gay is something that people harp on, but there are so many other things that people do wrong that are not gay. You know what I'm saying? Like, not even sexuality issues.
People love Jesus, right? People love God. That don't make you gay. You can be a man and love another man. Donnie, listen. If you love Jesus and you love God, you are okay. Go live your truth. Sing your songs.
Okay.
But don't struggle with your desires. If you desire man meat, go get it.
Okay, that's
you sitting here trying to fake. You sitting here trying to fake like you like a woman. Now listen, this woman that tried to get with him, she might have been struggling with something too.
Or she might have been struggling with poverty. And she was just trying to
She's struggling with something. Like I said.
She can come up.
But no woman is going to go actively after a gay man.
Who done told y'all he wanted
Yes. Like what? Like what are you trying to do? Think that he, maybe no, I'm not gay no more. Yeah, it's no such thing as not gay no more. Like, you know, No. Like I said, no. Once you cross that line as
but
a man.
He didn't cross
ain't
it.
No going. Oh, he crossed it. He said that in 02. Then 13, he said he tried to come clean. Like, no, nigga. You just mad because you're an artist and you know that a lot of the Christian folk, like I said, Christian folk, y'all the ones that are putting the pressure on these people because y'all let the tambourine player be gay. Y'all let the organ player be gay. Y'all let that nigga that sing that look like Cisco in the choir. Oh, he can sing. He just ripped. Y'all let him be gay.
Don't leave out the choir director.
The choir director, everybody, who all these other people, y'all turn a blind eye to being gay, but y'all want to put this pressure on Mr. McClurkin. No.
You put that pressure
He was the damn tambourine player. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's...
He put that pressure on himself because in this day and time, let's just be real, everybody can do everything now. This 2020.
But if he came out as a gay gospel singer, y'all not buying his album no more.
Hey.
Tell me.
That's a
be
chance
honest.
He got to take.
So
that's a chance he got to take. I'm not going to sit here and say for the rest of my life, I'm 60-something years old. At 60, I have been liberated from all things that can hold me down. I will not give a fuck about what nobody think about what I'm doing at 60-something. 60-something years old, I ain't giving a fuck at 44. So I be John Brown if I'm going to be sitting up here talking about something. Oh, I'm 60-something years old and I'm still over here trying to be closeted about something that I'm doing. Nigga, please, if I'm out here fucking whoever, snorting, shooting up, whatever I'm doing, if I ain't doing it and breaking no laws or hurting nobody in the process of doing it, I'm doing a darn thing. Period. So he needs to get him some better friends in his circle.
Or just get a new circle.
That too. Well, damn, make all your money now, shit. I promise you ain't got to make no more money.
He hadn't been no song since then. Y'all Christians turn y'all back on him. Y'all stop buying his album.
I still listen to him, so I don't have a problem.
That's why that song, We Fall Down, But We Get Up. That's what he was talking about.
What all happening in that song?
Yes.
Getting down?
That was his coming out song right there.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? He was letting y'all know about his struggles. And y'all ate it up.
And they loved it.
Loved it. But then y'all didn't want to deal with the struggles. He told you on the song. But then afterwards, y'all... He can't be in the church.
He's still out there. The people love him.
Yes.
And he need to realize that it's enough people that love him that he does not have to continue to live in this.
I just think churches need to be open and say, hey,
I mean, churches are open about a lot of stuff.
Yes.
The only thing that they really can't deal with is people being gay.
And that's ridiculous. You could deal with everything else. Cheating, all that other stuff.
Because the pastors stay cheating.
Don't ever, exactly. Yes. Pastor stay cheating. And they don't care about that.
They have a during church anniversary.
Yes.
Right after the pastor got caught coming out of somebody's house.
You heard
and raised thousands of dollars.
Raise that money. So
and give it to the man with no problem.
But don't let the gay man come into church. It's a fucking problem. Y'all church people, y'all some hypocrites, man. Y'all need to get y'all shit together. Open up your doors. God loves everybody.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the song say. Yes, so.
I mean, but that's the thing. It's just, again, it's a reconditioning of people's minds because that narrative has been pushed on people from various platforms, not just, the church people, but society. Of course, that's why they have to have a Pride Day and a this, that, and the third because you're trying to make it so that people don't put you in a box and don't make you feel uncomfortable when it should have never been that way. I mean, homosexuality was looked at that as like a disorder.
Yes.
Back in the day.
They tried to fix you.
Yeah. So it's like, you just have to realize that it's something that for some people is going to take a little more time. But while the time is going, you got to be okay with who you are. You don't have to worry about what another nigga think about you.
But a part of me is missing because I can't get that church. I can't get that little, that void feel.
You can, though. There's plenty of churches that got gay pastors.
But I look like Uncle Clifford and I want to dress like that when I go to church.
Like I said, if you go to a church where there's a first gentleman, then you already know you're in the right place. Your pastor gay and he got a husband. It's no reason you to feel no type of... It's plenty of them out there.
Churches in my town.
Hey, you better go there if that's what you want.
I mean,
shit, you Donnie McClurkin. You can go anywhere.
True.
Fly to church every Sunday.
He ain't got money like that no more.
He can do what he want to do. he got a little something going on. So, hey, I wish him the best, though.
But it's all going to change, like I said, 20 years when all these old people gone. All these old-fashioned people that believe in whooping kids and... You know what I'm saying? All that once they go out, church gonna get real lax. Real lax. I'm talking about this shit gonna be lit.
Is it?
Yeah. Like they might even bring heathens like me back in the fold. Cause I'm be like, oh shit. So we can just do whatever. Like okay, cool. I'm
disrespectful.
I'm just not being disrespectful. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's because again, it's a time and a place for everything.
Mm.
And some stuff shouldn't be happening in the church. Not in the church.
Mm. Could you live on a cruise ship?
Cruise ship, I don't think I could live on it. I'm thinking that, it's fine, have a good time, a week. If depending on where you go, maybe 2 weeks. Ain't no way in the world I could live on a cruise ship.
Okay.
Like,
so
I love the water, but I don't know about that.
You can now live on a cruise ship for $30,000 per year.
That's a lot of dollars.
So, okay, what they do now, they say, there's a cruise company is launching a 3-year, 130,000-mile escape your daily life cruise for a relatively affordable $30,000 per person per year. Life at Sea Cruises has opened bookings for its 3-year voyage on the MV Gemini, which sets sail from Istanbul on November 1st. Yes, November 1st, 2023. So you have 8 months to get your passport, vaccinations, and remote working abilities in order. The company is promising to tick off 375 ports around the world, visiting 135 countries and all 7 continents. The ship will cover more than 130,000 miles over the 3 years, taking in iconic sites from Rio de Janeiro's Christ the Redeemer statue and India's Taj Mahal to Mexico's Chichen Itza, the pyramids of Giza, Machu Picchu, and the Great Wall of China. It even slots in trips to 103 tropical islands of those 375 ports. 208 will be overnight stops, giving you extra time in the destination. So, I got to know, Queen Jern. Think about it.
That's not for me. I mean, it's too much. Being on a ship, I'm not going to get off. The people who I left with are the people that I'm going to be with for 3 years. That's horrible.
I mean, it might be different. It might be different people cycling in on these trips.
But I'm saying, you telling me I'm on there $30,000 a year, but how the fuck am I making the $30,000 a year if I ain't at nobody's job? Because I know that they ain't got the bomb-ass internet everywhere.
It's definitely for somebody retired.
Or somebody who ain't got to be at nobody's job.
Yes, because
I'm going to be on a sabbatical for a year so I can be floating around all over the...
Yeah, because, I mean, hey, that's
you can't, be talking about I'm having a meeting, I'm on a Zoom call, and my shit dropping off. Because I'm out here wherever.
Yeah, you're in Istanbul.
Yeah.
You're in Machu Picchu. You know ain't no internet out there.
So I'm just like, that ain't for me. That's not realistic for me. But even if you had the ideal situation, I still wouldn't want to be on no cruise ship that long. Like, because once you leave off a cruise ship, you could be on there for 3 days and you kind of walking funny when you come out. What the hell your head going to be like? You going to be swimming. Even if you get off every couple of days, they saying you in a different spot. I mean, it'll be fun, I guess. Mm-hmm. Taking pictures, doing new stuff. Seeing new places, but I don't know if I could do a whole year of that. Mm. Maybe, like I say, probably I would probably max out at a month.
A month?
Yeah, I think so. What about you?
Whew. A year is a long time. Yeah. I would have.
I got kids and shit. I
would have to have at least like 2 pounds of weed with me, you know, to make it through that year. You know what I'm saying? On the boat.
You think you smoke 2 pounds of weed in a year?
Easily. Well, no.
I think you
Not 2 pounds.
I think you do.
No, impossible. Yeah.
It's not but 454 grams in a 1 pound.
Look at you quick with the math. But so do the math. So that's what? 16 ounces. So 16 ounces is a pound.
So you saying that you would have two. So that's like 908.
Nah, that's too much.
It's not, though. You think about 365 days a year?
I'm thinking about how much I smoke. Yeah.
So that's like 3 grams a day.
I might smoke like...
3 grams a day.
I smoke about what? 3 grams a day. I don't smoke that much.
Come on, bro.
I'm just saying.
Come on, bro. Like, so, you talking to me, the person
who 3 grams a day?
Come on, man. Like, come on. Dang. Like, that's you.
That's doable if you say 3 grams a day.
It is done. It's you, nigga. Like, what are you talking about?
But I don't think I smoke that much, man.
Okay. If you say so.
5 pounds a week.
Yeah.
I smoke at least about a half or an ounce a week.
If and you so, say so.
And so that's what we'll say about 52 ounces. No way.
See, I'm saying you're making it worse than what I said.
No way. Nah, I don't smoke that much. Mm-mm, that's okay. Too much.
Okay.
32 ounces? Shit. Damn. But anyway, I'm sorry, y'all. We went on a tangent.
Yeah, we went all the way out there. We were supposed to be on a cruise ship.
Yeah, but see, yeah, that would be my issue. I don't know. I probably have to stop smoking. You know what I'm saying? If I went on a cruise that long, and that'd probably be my detoxing period. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't want to
turn me into
around.
An alcoholic. You know what I'm saying? What you mean?
Nigga, you are horrible when you are sober. After. I have been with you when you have tried to stop smoking. I prefer you as high.
But it's only those first couple of days, and once that goes away, then...
You lasted for longer than a couple of days, and you were horrible every one of those days.
I mean, it's like...
Every one of those days. It was like what? Was it like a month or two?
The longest I've been since we've been together was like 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, and you were horrible that entire time.
I was not.
Yes, you were. So that's why I'm just like, I can't even lie. I would like for you to stop smoking weed just because, but if you're talking about the nature of our relationship, the quality of life that I would have, if you stop smoking weed, I'm not willing to go
into that. What kind of quality of life do you have now that I do smoke? I mean, is it peaceful?
It's all right. I mean, it's pretty good. Because I know what it feels like to deal with a nigga that ain't... I mean, because even when you in between highs and you got to go and get your medicine, you sickening. Like, you be on edge. Like, now all of a sudden, everything bother you. Everybody bother you. This here. This shit don't make no sense. And, dog, these kids don't do this. And you don't let them... Or you didn't... Oh, my God. Hey,
I mean...
Like, give that nigga that weed and let him go in that garage. I ain't got time.
Jesus.
That's a pacifier. Give it to him.
I tell you, Queen Germ say anything for content. Well,
that's what we're gonna dismiss it as.
So yeah, now I couldn't do 3 years on a cruise. That's too fucking much. One, the money, $30,000.
Yeah, I'm like, where are you making this money at? That you're giving away $30,000.
That's $90,000. It's $30,000 a year. So you know, but 1 year, like 30 grand, that's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot. I mean, that's a lot of bill money and. Like,
you like,
what the fuck? Like, you gotta have a house sitter for a long time.
You don't
nigga.
Need a house. If you go on for 3 years, you don't need a motherfucking house. You need a store.
Jesus. God you damn. Need one you small just turning everything off. I mean, yeah. What the fuck we doing here?
Because ain't nobody paying off. You gonna have that much bills that you ain't even gonna.
On auto pay. Yeah. You gotta have it.
Yeah, so like, no. Shit. I'm good with it. I mean, like I said, put me down for the 1 month. I got $2,500. I ain't got $30,000.
Sheesh. Queen Jern. What state are you from?
Georgia.
So is that a southern state?
Oh, Georgia.
So yes, would you consider yourself southern?
I am.
All right. I want you to give yourself 1 point for everything I ask you. How southern are you, okay? 1 point for every food that you've tried, okay?
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
I think I am.
All right. Number one, peach cobbler.
Love it. One of my favorites.
Sweet tea.
One of my favorites. Well, I ain't going to say one of my favorites, but it's real good.
Just give yourself a point if you tried it.
Don't do that.
Chicken and dumplings.
No.
You never had chicken and dumplings?
I've seen them. I'm not interested.
Okay. Cornbread.
Yes.
Gumbo.
Yes.
Frog legs.
No.
Chicken fried steak.
Yes.
Hush puppies.
Yes.
White gravy.
Yes.
Grits.
Yes.
Oyster salad.
No.
Congealed salad.
No.
Fried green tomatoes.
Yes.
Pickled pig's feet.
No.
Red eye gravy.
Yeah.
Chess pie?
No, I don't know what it is.
Turnip greens?
Yes.
Hoppin' John?
Yes.
Chicken livers?
No.
Tomato sandwich?
No.
Rabbit stew?
No.
Red beans and rice?
Yes.
Brunswick stew?
Yes.
Corn pudding?
Yes.
Fatback?
Yes.
Fried bologna?
Yes.
Fried okra?
Yes.
Boiled peanuts?
Yes.
Chitlins?
Nope.
Pear salad?
No.
Butter beans?
Yes.
Jambalaya.
Yes.
Deviled eggs.
Yes.
Po' boys.
Yes.
Fried gizzards.
No.
Coca-Cola cake.
No.
Gator tail.
No.
Poke salad.
No.
Ambrosia salad.
No.
All right, what number we got there?
We have 23.
So the scale goes like this. 1 to 5, you might be a Yankee. 6 to 10, how's your mom and them? 11 to 15, born and raised. And 16 or more, show enough Southern.
All right, I make it. So what about you? What's your number was?
Mine was like 20-something.
Oh, okay. So
27. So yeah, it was something ridiculous. Only thing on this list I probably haven't had was oyster salad, chess pie. I don't know what the fuck that is. Rabbit stew. I've had them. I know I like them. Coca-Cola cake, poke salad. That's like the only things I haven't had on this list. Everything else, I've eaten.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or tried, at least.
And well, you the one had the chicken and dumplings so much that you got sick or something.
No, that was your other boyfriend.
No, what would you... You said you had something that you ate at some kind of family function, and you ate so much of it that you ended up getting sick. So maybe it wasn't chicken and dumplings, but it was something.
It definitely wasn't chicken and dumplings.
It was something. Was it pigs in a blanket?
Nah,
it was something.
I don't know. I can't remember the story.
Okay, well, if you don't remember the story, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
I mean, it was your story. I know you said you was a kid, you ate so much of something that you threw up at the people family reunion or at some family gathering. So yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you tell me a lot of stuff. So
I do.
I've been with you for the last 20 some odd years. If it's a story, it was told by you.
I'm not denying that. I see a lot of people use this word and it bothers me. And I want to know, what do you deserve? Are you one of? Why do people think they deserve things?
You
why?
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's how they was raised. Because to me, I just feel like you deserve what you go out there and get. So if it is something that you desire, you work for it until you have, you know, saying you have acquired it. But otherwise, it ain't about nothing that nobody deserves because you get what you out there working for. Like some people get some shit that just was given to them.
Facts.
So they don't necessarily deserve that. But at the same damn time, some of the headache you get from the shit that was gifts, you know what I'm saying? You got to deal with those things as well. So it's like, you can't look at it like I deserve, but what are you going to work for? What are you willing to give up something for? Like people who work hard, people who dedicated to their path that they've chosen, you come out on top every time because for one, you work for it. Then you don't owe a nigga nothing for it. Nobody holding nothing over your head, whether it be family or a spouse or whoever, because this is something that you grind for, you work for, you got. So as far as saying what I deserve to be able to be in a world, if you talk about just an ideal sense, to be in a world that's not judging me, that's not creating barriers for me, but at the same time, understanding that you got to work out there. You got, you know what I'm saying? You got to do some stuff to get what you want. And it ain't nobody really owe you nothing. So that whole deserving, you know.
What do you feel about to the man that says he deserves a good woman? Or the woman that says she deserves a good man?
And you could deserve one.
Why so do you feel like you deserve a good man? Why?
Because I'm a good person. So I feel like if we're talking about matching energy, matching whatever, if I'm a good person, I'm a great catch. Mm-hmm. Yes, I deserve to have someone that's just that wonderful. But we also, when we look at it in that term, we got to realize that you have to be willing to understand what it is that you really need. Because you're talking about deserving. You might be talking about a look of what a good man is, the feel of what a good man is, the money that you think a good man should have. But at the end of the day, if you really talk about somebody good for you, it would be somebody who compliments you. So I know I'm weak in some areas. This man may be good and organized and really fiscally responsible. I need somebody like that in my life. But at the same time, if I'm thinking about all the frills and the things that make me feel good about being with somebody that I deserve, I'm thinking, the man for me ain't the nigga who around here balancing his checkbook or making sure that we paid all the bills before we go out to eat. I'm thinking this nigga just, he cheap. He don't make enough money. He need two jobs because he can't give me the stuff that I want. I don't want to be sitting here checking my account every time I go somewhere. But if this man gonna make sure we got a nice place to live, our kids got good schools to go to, and, you know, he's compatible with me, we having fun. I just feel like, you know, if he got all the main things, he believe in the Lord, we got some good structure in our family, he could be somebody that I deserve because that's pushing me to be a better person. But if you just wanted to look good and to be able to, you know, be Hollywood, be somebody I could post online, it ain't always in the packaging in the way that you think it's going to be. So I just feel like, you know, you have to be open-minded and understand how that person or that thing would work best for you, not necessarily saying what you deserve. Because if you somebody who's impatient, you may need somebody to help build you some patience. And that's going to be a challenge because you already impatient. So, you know, certain characteristics and people that come into your life may be for a purpose. And you just have to be willing to, you know, open yourself up to grow in those areas.
So, I'm glad you mentioned that. So you feel like people... is desire, not deserve. So like, I deserve a nice house. I deserve a nice car. I deserve a nice job. So that's why I was hearing people say they deserve all these things. And I'm just like, why do you deserve it? Like, you should desire it. Yes.
Yeah, you desire.
You don't deserve shit. You know what I'm saying? You don't deserve nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing. You know what I'm saying? No. But you could desire all these things. You could desire a girl with a big ass. Yeah, you don't deserve a girl with a big ass, but you could desire this shit.
Yeah.
You could desire a man with a big penis. You don't deserve a nigga. Oh, you deserve a nigga. Like I heard a girl say that because her homegirl's having so many trouble with men. She's like, girl, you deserve a nigga with a big... Like, what? Like, what are you talking about?
Maybe they just don't know how to use the word.
Yes. But I mean, that's another thing with people. People don't know how to use words.
And then the thing is, certain things become trendy. So y'all just jump on the bandwagon because that's what the people saying and how the people phrasing it. And you never question what it really means.
Yes, they don't. They don't question. They don't at all. So I just wanted to bring that to you, Queen Germ. See how you felt about people and the things they deserve. You know what I'm saying? And how that word is used. It's just so loosely in it. And I just don't like it. I don't like it at all. It's top 10 time.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Top 10 is where we talk about 10 things. Sometimes we go from 1 to 10. Sometimes we go from 10 to 1. But it's always 10 things. And this time, we're doing the top 10 weirdest cities in the United States. The top 10 weirdest cities in the United States. Now, at number 10, we got Nashville, Tennessee. Shout out to the 8 More 92 podcast, which King Germ was on this week. So shout out to them.
Okay.
But Nashville is number 10, and they're the weirdest city. Mm. Number 9, we got Providence, Rhode Island. Sounds like anybody living in Rhode Island, that's weird. Number 8, we got New York City. Everybody know New York City weird.
Mm.
One of the weirdest places on earth. Number 7, we got Seattle, Washington. A lot of weirdos in Seattle. Rains all the time. They're in the Pacific Northwest. Gotta be weirdo. Weirdo Central. Number six, Savannah, Georgia.
That's not on there.
It's on the list.
That's not on there. You put that on there.
Savannah, one of the weird cities.
Hey.
I'm just saying.
I'm still representing for the Savannah, Georgia people, the 912. See Pope, baby.
Number five, we got Santa Fe.
You went and looked something up. You just tried to find
No,
us.
I did not.
You tried to find
I did
me.
Not.
Like, where would you
I
have
do the top 10.
You didn't even, you weren't even supposed to come back with them. You did something else last week and you were supposed to do the opposite this week.
Oh, that's right. But this was on my list, so yeah, I just wanted to clear it out. It was. It's in my notes. It's in my notes. Santa Fe, New Mexico was number five. Number four, we got San Francisco, California. Now, y'all know why San Francisco weird. And you already know, so I don't even want to go there.
Just leave that alone.
Number three, we got Austin, Texas. Now listen, shout out to Saul Wright. Austin, Texas got some of the best quality fight videos ever seen in my life. These fight videos being 1040p, they be downtown fighting all the time, and this shit look like it's shot with a goddamn Hollywood camera. This shit is amazing. I ain't never seen. Shit is crazy.
Good fight videos.
Yes. Number two, Portland, Oregon. Portland is weirdo. That might be weirdo capital right there.
But it's not.
A bunch of women with hairy legs and hairy underarms.
That's free. Now, that's what you can call free.
Nah, I'm cool.
That's liberating.
I'm cool.
That's liberating.
Yeah. I don't want to see that shit. Hairy underarms.
But again, that's
nasty.
Liberating.
Nasty.
It's growing for a reason.
Number one, the number one most weird city in the United States is New Orleans, Louisiana.
Now, that's how you already know that the thing ain't even real.
What you mean?
New Orleans is not weird. New Orleans is
it's definitely weird.
The lover of all mankind.
Americans voted these U.S. cities have the weirdest people. That's what the votes say. We live in a democracy, and the people have spoken.
And they lied.
The top 10 weirdest cities. Queen Jern, I'm not even going to ask you. What's your favorite? I'm not going to ask you, but give me three cities you will not live in.
I mean, would not live in.
Would not live in.
Portland, Oregon. You had New York on there. You had San Francisco on there, so I'm going to go with them. But y'all know I'm a Savannah girl, so I ain't never betraying my hometown. So I would always be willing to go back home. Savannah, Georgia is what it is.
Okay, the three places I would not live. Providence, Rhode Island. New York City. And hate to do this. Savannah, Georgia.
I knew you were going to say it because you hate my city. But
I don't hate your city. I do not hate.
The best thing that ever happened to you came from there and you met her there. So you should be nothing but glad to have ever lived in Savannah.
Three places I wouldn't want to live, ma'am. That's all I said.
And I said something back.
That's all I said.
This is a podcast.
Didn't say nothing about your town or didn't put it down or anything.
Yeah, but it was the last of the things that you would not live.
I said I didn't want to do that.
Okay, but you did it.
Yes.
So you wanted to. We have choices.
Okay. I take away Savannah.
Don't take it away. Leave it. You said what you said.
But you know, Oregon got to stay because they got legal drugs. Everything legal in Oregon. Crack, everything.
That's why it's legal.
Yes.
Because ain't nobody want to be there.
And you know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't want to live in Oregon because they said black people couldn't live there until like a couple years ago. You know, it was illegal for black people to live in Oregon. So, you know what I mean?
Interesting.
Yeah. So, Oregon's a weird, weird place.
Okay.
Well, it's TV talk time.
Yeah, it's
Jern.
TV talk time.
We're just going to talk about three shows this week. We're going to start with the season finale of BMF. How did you feel?
I felt empty. I thought we were going to get something resolved. They got the damn, what the killer name is?
Lamar.
Lamar walking around there. Now he a crackhead. They were supposed to kill that nigga.
Why are you just doing?
I want you to suffer. I want you to. Nigga, y'all really want us to believe that y'all ain't no killers. Y'all really want us to believe that y'all had such high moral standards. Then you put the man on crack. He walking around wandering. You really think that he ain't
like
willing
said,
to do anything?
That's a dangerous
that crack.
Crackhead right there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, all once the gold chains and all, he lose all that. He's still a fucking menace.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what you think this nigga gonna do if he wants some crack? He willing to do anything. That's the most dangerous crackhead on the streets.
But
I was like,
he gave the cousin some crack fun, but then the next thing you know, he wandering on the streets.
Yeah, it was months later, that crack gone.
Yeah.
That was a deal that Meech had with the cousin. You know what I'm saying? So I really wish he would just smoke Lamar. Cause,
yeah, me too.
I mean,
because it's just like, if, as long as he's alive, there's a chance.
There's a chance. You know what I'm saying?
That he's like, going to come back and do some shit, and I'm not a fan. The mom and the daddy look like they done for good.
Yeah, so what you think about the mom, her choice of outfit?
She was a little too sexy for me.
With the little onesie. But then she came with a salt and pepper haircut, though, at the end of the cookout.
She gave the daddy something to look at for real.
Yeah.
And he didn't even know that it was her look like. He was like, oh, dang.
Yeah.
And then when she turned around, and this Meech just said, see, that's what your wandering eye got you in trouble the last time. And so then he turned around, and it was actually the mama.
Yeah.
So he was like, okay. And she was like, which one of y'all going to dance with me? So she was feeling herself. She was feeling like, you know, it's enough of this bullshit. You ain't want to be with me all this time. We done been unhappy. You done been unhappy, whatever the case may be. And, you know, now it's time for us to go ahead and start anew. You know, go and do you. I'm going to do me. And, I mean, to be honest, to be somebody in that time frame who ain't had shit because she working at Wendy's, for you to be okay with letting a nigga go, like, that was really, like, y'all was way better together financially. So you going in one way.
Oh,
and
she getting the drug money now. She's like, yeah, she I ain't with you now, yeah, nigga. Give me some of that drug money.
My turn will take care of me. I ain't fucking no Wendy's.
To Wendy's no more.
Y'all can have this visor if that's what y'all wanted back, whatever.
Dave can kiss my ass.
All of it.
She said, hey, Herb, where's the beef, nigga? That's what she said.
So, I mean, it was cute, you know, how that happened, but I really thought they was going to wrap up the loose ends as far as Lamar was concerned, but it looked like they continued to expand.
You did B. Mickey dirtier than you did Lamar. Yeah. You told B. Mickey, you ain't found him, get the fuck around here, you dead to me and shit, but you couldn't kill Lamar.
But like, he couldn't kill B. Mickey either, so he did let him live.
But you took...
But the worst part...
What?
The worst part was they let the police officer's son get B. Mickey gun.
They didn't let him do it. The son's the police officer. Oh, you're talking about the people that wrote it. Yeah, the son found a police officer's gun. He went and shot the bully, and now he's arrested.
The bully dead, and now you going to jail.
Yeah, you going to jail. Now you want to be a daddy and shit. Now your son behind bars when you could have spent time with him before. And like, no, this nigga not an athlete. He just a regular ass nerd. And you couldn't see that. You trying to.
What you should have done was to get him some damn boxing classes or something. Cause
not even that. It just give him some confidence.
Well, that too, but he needed to have something, some way to, you know, protect yourself that he actually could whoop some ass instead of having to shoot a nigga.
Yep. So now it's over now. You go be a father between them bars, motherfucker.
But they going to be together because his ass finna go to jail too. So you ain't got to worry about it. You will be a good father. You and your son will be doing y'all time together. Y'all don't have to worry about nothing. Y'all can get in the same cell, all that.
Damn. That's what's up. So that was the BMF season finale. Like I said, it wasn't
what I expected, but the biggest surprise was when they let Kevin go to jail for killing. I mean, like, you know, he shot the bully, and I really
shot
wasn't
the shit out of his head. With B. Mickey Gunn, they put all the murders on that nigga.
Uh-huh.
They put KD murder on the other nigga. They put all kind of murders on this nigga.
They put three of that nigga.
So now they're trying to get B. Mickey to step up and say it was his shit.
And my thing is, you know that the courts could say whatever. The gun, just because you the one last caught with a gun, all them bodies can't. That can't be the law.
Your daddy was holding evidence, so it looks bad.
But that's what I'm saying. So therefore, that's on the daddy. The daddy got to catch them charges.
Yes,
so
sir.
Y'all might as well be together. Your son going down, and you going
for
down.
One, too. You going for the other two, nigga.
Yeah.
So that's all for BMF. Abbott Elementary happened on Abbott. We watched that so long ago. It was like 5 days ago, it seemed like.
It probably was.
What happened on Abbott? What was the lesson? Oh, this was the school closing down? Oh, hell yeah. It was a school closing down episode where they were
trying. This was the one where they had to get Tariq to rap.
But Tariq came back and rapped. Tariq saved because Ava said she had Jasmine Sullivan coming. They was trying to get the community to sign a petition to, you know, keep them open as a public school and not a charter school. So they did like an Abbott fun night or whatever, game night, and everybody showed up thinking Jasmine Sullivan was going to be there. And once, you know, they seen that she wasn't coming, you know, what's his name, Greg? He called Tariq. And got Tariq to come. Tariq came, performed,
saved the show.
Even the guy that was the former student that was, you know, leading the charge for the charter school, he got him show how they don't really care about the community, all about the dollar, yada yada yada. And you know, teachers at Abbott is good, you know, because they was like, what you gonna do with these teachers? Get rid of them? And they're like, we're gonna get the best teachers.
I mean,
yeah, some of them. Then they're like, nah,
the kids gonna get put out. Like, how you advocating for us to change the school for the kids, and then all the kids ain't even gonna be able to go to the school? And then they realized, like, the community was more informed than they thought, because the people was throwing questions at him that he couldn't even answer. Mm-hmm. And so then at the end of the whole thing, he was like, you know, it's just good that he don't have to try to take over their school, because, you know, he gets overwhelmed with so many other schools that he got to, you know, do these projects with and make them charter. Yeah. So he was fine with leaving Abbott alone, but it was good because Janine had even said, like, we are Abbott. We're not going to let it go down like this.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, you know, you always pie in the sky type dreamer person. And she actually had, you know, had the right idea. Like, let's go. If we're going to go out, let's go out fighting. And they fought the good fight and they won.
And they won. So shout out to them. Abbott Elementary, always a good show. I think that's all that really happened this episode.
Yeah, that was the biggest thing. That was the
moral story.
Yeah, and so what's the white guy name? He was in the tank, Jacob.
The dunk tank,
and he was in the dunk tank, and
he had some good lines to show. Yeah, he kept asking Siri who these black people was. He's supposed to be the arbiter on black. Uh-huh. He's supposed to be everything black, and it was like Jasmine. He was like, Siri, who is Jasmine Sullivan? Like,
and who is this and who is that? So it was just funny. And then of course your fave. He had some good little one-liners.
Mr. Johnson. He came and swept him off the stage.
Uh-huh.
Ava had a good line, too, when that
you
dude
love
was.
Her, but whatever.
Ava is funny. Ava and Mr. Johnson carry the show. Without them, Abbott Elementary is not a hit. Without those two people, it's not a hit show. You can ask anybody. Everybody says.
I mean, I can get with the Mr. Johnson, but I can't get with Ava because Ava is corny as hell. Like, she is bizarre.
What you mean? She's funny because she's like, she has no clue what she's doing. Like she said, I'm probably going to get school, get qualified for my position.
And then the thing is, like, but the thing is, she only works for Abbott, I guess, because
nobody else will have her.
But I'm saying her stand-up comedy is not good.
Oh, we did watch her stand-up.
And we did, and it was not good. It was like flatline. It was not. Nothing of it was good.
That's what I said, she got the one-liners. But that means... You know,
it's not.
Comedy's subjective. Comedy's subjective.
Yeah, I mean,
they say some more got a new special out. We got to watch that.
Yeah, we got to watch that. I like her anyway, so it's all good. We'll talk about it next time.
Yeah. And on the last, we got Power Book 2, Son of Ghosts, Tariq's Story, whatever
that was
called.
A mess.
Yeah, they jumped back in and it was high action from episode one. They kind of picked up where they left off with the death of, what's his name? Zeke. And Mary J. Blige is still depressed, and she wants to find out who killed her son.
And it's her husband. She's sleeping with him.
And her husband's sitting, walking around there. He's on tiptoes because they need to find a new plug, because the Mecca, the guy they killed, he was also working with the government, and his plug came over there looking for her ring that he stole, that he was supposed to get him married, that Tariq sold, got hocked off at an auction house to some
millions of dollars.
$5.5 million for this ring. And some unsuspecting white guy bought it, proposed to his woman. They walked up on him. And he didn't want to give up the ring. So they chopped off her hand, took the ring off the finger, and then they ended up killing him. So that shit was crazy. Tariq still don't have a car. He's walking around. And the big surprise of the whole show was that Mary J. Blige's daughter goes to Stansfield now. Effie transferred to Stansfield, so Tariq got his whole crew over there at Stansfield except for Brayden, because he's going to work for his dad in the company because he's suspended from school. And but Brayden's still in the streets. Don't get it twisted.
Brayden's sister is at Stansfield. Huh?
Brayden's sister is at Stansfield. She's in the room, like in the Stansfield dorm room. Her and the daughter are roommates now. And the big surprise, the reveal of the show was Lauren is still alive.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened. Did Effie get a heart? Because Effie
was talking kind of like, I was scared for her because she kept going back and forth with Tariq at some point in that show. I was like, she finna tell on herself.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reality of it is, does she know that the girl alive?
That's why, I mean, if they had to come up with the story about her dying in the car accident, because the lawyer is the one that said it, but you rode off with Effie. And so, I don't know, this whole little story, Effie... I thought you was the most solid one out of all the little, you know what I'm saying, youngins, but now it seems like you ain't as solid as you look.
Or you halfway did the job.
Or exactly.
And now it's finna be like a Lamar situation. You rising.
Or you really ain't no killer like you say you is. Yeah. Effie, like, I do a lot of things I don't want to. Yeah, we gonna see.
Yeah, so either we finna find out that she thought the girl was dead, or she know the girl ain't dead, and this is just some bullshit, because... It seemed like they didn't really want to kill her to begin with.
Mm-mm.
They just wanted her to go away.
Yeah, they wanted her to go away.
But now she in protective custody, so that means that you ain't just go away for the sake of going away. You going away to work for the police.
Yeah. And then, oh yeah, speaking of the plug that came over, they have to move all this these drugs. Like they don't have a drug problem more. The problem they have is they got too much drugs.
Yeah, they got too much
drugs. And they gotta sell all and the person told them, look, I gave 30 days or I'm coming back and killing all y'all. So Tariq, I mean, like I said, his life and he's getting blackmailed by the guy, the Course Connect guy. And but the Course Connect guy, he gonna
Course
get killed.
Course Connect guy did. So
oh, he did already.
He stabbed him in the damn
Tariq
show.
Damn show did stab the nigga. That's right.
Yeah,
cause,
like, he did.
That's right. Because Braden and Woody was going to get him. I mean, what's his name? Kane was going
yeah,
to talk to
going
him.
Yeah, to talk to him. And
Tariq had already handled the business.
Too, so.
Yeah, they had already handled business. So, yeah, he's already gone. So, never mind about Course Connect guy.
Yeah,
he's
Course
gone.
Course Connect guy did.
He's gone.
They Tariq had a big old memorial for Zeke.
Zeke and, you know, and all that stuff. And Mary, she was in the
doing
corner crying and... Yeah, who was that came to her and said he's going to help?
Tariq.
Oh, yeah, Tariq. Yeah, he was like, yeah, so. Power's all over the place in the first episode.
Yeah, but it's fast moving. It's
fast
hard hitting.
Moving.
It's doing
they,
the darn thing, so.
They said we're going to give the people what they want, man.
They
so
want
they got
it
us,
back.
They got us all caught up, man. So that's all for TV Talk this week, man. Watched a lot of other things. But we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah, niggas ain't sleeping around here.
Yeah, niggas was not sleeping last week. Niggas was watching a lot of goddamn TV. Well, it's time for Queen Germ's favorite segment of the show, and that's Bad Black Cinema. Bad Black Cinema, or the BBC as we like to call it right here, is when me and Queen Germ act out situations suggested by you, the listener, or sometimes we just make them up. Now, before we get into this improv, let me let y'all know we are not classically trained actors. We did not study at Juilliard. Hell, we wasn't invited to the Oscars. But every week, we come here and we do this for y'all. This week, the situation goes a little something like this. Pro fighter grabs your girl's booty while y'all out. Now, Queen Germ, I'm going to set the situation. You and your man walking down the street. It's a pro fighter, you know, he's sitting outside this little, we'll say a bodega, whatever like that. You see the pro fighter, you're like, oh, look, there's the heavyweight champ. So you go ask the champ for an autograph and a picture. He takes the picture with you, and during the picture, he squeezes your butt. You feel violated, you come back and tell your man. Are you ready, Queen Germ?
Okay.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Action. Damn, baby, ain't that the heavyweight champ right there?
Yeah, I think that's him.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know you.
You want
to. I mean, you're a fan of him and everything like that. You say, I mean, he right there. Why don't you go ask him for an autograph or something?
Hey, do you mind taking a picture with me right quick? You going to take a picture, baby, of us?
I'm sure I'll take the picture. I'll take the picture. Just give me a phone.
Oh, okay.
Give me a phone. I don't want to take it on my phone.
Okay.
It.
Well.
Okay, yeah. All right, there you go.
Oh. Oh.
You all right?
Yeah, he just grabbed me on my booty.
He grabbed you on your butt?
You didn't just see that? You holding
the camera. I was taking a picture. I didn't see it because my face was covered over the phone.
So, okay, so you cool then?
I mean, are you cool?
I mean, I don't feel comfortable with this. I didn't. That's not what I came over here for. I came over here to take a picture. I ain't come over here to get my ass grabbed.
Oh.
I'm talking about he had a whole handful of ass. Like,
okay.
I'm surprised you didn't notice.
I didn't notice. I mean, I was taking a picture, like I said. I mean, you know, I was
so
trying,
you not
I was
gonna,
trying to focus on
you
getting
not
a good
handle.
Picture. Handle what?
This situation, this man just violated me.
What you want me to do?
Are you not my man?
I'm your man.
Okay, so my man should be concerned at this point.
I'm concerned that you think that I'm going to walk over there and say something to him. It's just me by myself.
So we just going to let this be.
What am I supposed to do?
We going
to
act like this shit didn't just happen.
I mean, listen. First of all, that's the heavyweight champ. I don't know if you know, this nigga is 28-0. This nigga done knocked out 28 niggas.
So
I don't want
to
be number 29?
20.
What's the point of me getting knocked out? This ain't the first time a man grabbed your butt.
Oh, so that's what we going on.
I'm just saying.
I can be assaulted.
I'm
because you just not man enough to handle
this. Do you feel assaulted right now?
I feel like I've been assaulted twice at this point because
No.
You allowed this to happen.
I didn't allow it to happen. I was taking the picture.
Now that you are aware that has been what has occurred,
okay. Well,
you should be outraged and you're not.
I'm not outraged. It's just that I'm trying to be smart about this. If I go run up on him and, I mean, what he gonna do? Beat the fuck out of me right now?
I mean, you could at least talk to him like a man to man. I thought that was something that y'all had, a code or something.
Okay, well, this is what you do. The man that's gonna talk to him is the police. If you feel assaulted, call the police. Let him handle that.
Mm, so that's the type of nigga I'm with.
No.
Okay.
I mean, you should be happy that you with a nigga that thinks before he reacts.
Oh, okay, so now we gonna applaud the fact that you now all of a sudden wanna be a thinker. Because you acknowledge the fact that the nigga is a heavyweight champion.
Exactly.
So therefore, you don't want to get knocked the fuck out.
Exactly.
But if he was a regular ass nigga that you thought you could whoop on, you would have whooped his ass.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Hey.
Why the fuck I want to run up on this nigga? This nigga would, no, I'm cool. I'm cool.
Okay.
And like I said, since you feel assaulted, please.
I know how to dial 911.
Okay, we call now. Call 911.
Okay.
I stand right here.
I call 911, Tyrone, and everybody else the way I'm looking with you over here.
Hey, we might want to call them, but I'm not running up over there on that man.
Appreciate it.
Cut. Bad black cinema, y'all.
Very bad.
What you mean? I mean, let's be honest, Queen Jern. Like, so you think in real life.
In real life, my man should be able to stand up for me regardless.
What's the good of me standing up if I'm about to get knocked the fuck down?
If you say so.
I mean, if I had a gun or something on me, then yeah, I'd run up on him and tell him, like, look, champ, I don't appreciate that, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not running up on that nigga knuckling up with the heavyweight champ, nigga. Like, is you crazy?
I'm not crazy. I think you crazy.
Y'all women want too goddamn much.
No,
so
I don't.
So you would expect your man to run up on the heavyweight champ because that nigga grabbed your ass.
I would want my nigga to be able to handle whatever situation. You saying you a thinker, be a thinker and say like, hey, partner. You know what I'm saying? I took the picture, so obviously you knew I was with the bitch. I mean, with the lady.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I ain't gonna disrespect her like
that.
Why
you out here thinking that it's okay for you to grab all in my woman ass?
And then when he be like, nigga, because I felt like it. He bow. The nigga just still off on the nigga. Then what? You gonna sit there and...
I'm gonna stand by your side because I knew you was nigga. That type of nigga. Like, that gets you all kinds of points with me.
Yeah,
but you sitting there talking about something, oh, call the police if you feel violated.
Yeah.
Nigga, that's who you need to call. That's the authority and da da da. So that means, like, I could just be violated. I got to wait an hour for the police
I'm
to show
saying.
Up for me to tell the police that this man did something to me and he
you
be gone.
You have to wait an hour
time.
For the ambulance after the nigga whoop my bust my shit all open.
Okay.
Like, what's the...
We still got to wait. So
it's
like,
cheaper. It's cheaper for you to call the police than for me to ride an ambulance.
Okay. I mean,
just
hey,
saying.
I understand who I'm with.
No, I'm just saying, that was bad black cinema. But
yeah.
If it's the heavyweight champion, oh, I'm not just
I'm
running
just saying
up on,
that's real life. If that's
well,
what
you just won't get no autograph from that nigga. If you ever see the heavyweight champion, don't ask for no picture.
I'm not.
Because if he grab your ass, then
I'm
we
on
already,
my own.
You on your own.
Okay.
I got to ask Queen Jern, if you are in a fight of survival, like you fighting this woman or whatever like that, and she got you in some precarious position, and the only way that you can get free is to bite her in her coochie, would you do that?
No.
Why not?
You say a bite?
Yeah.
Her
like she,
and her coochie?
Yes.
What would be the purpose of that?
To get her off of you.
No. Like, why? Like, why is her coochie even near my face
whatever,
to bite it?
She might have you, like, the body slam you or whatever like that. And your head is down there. Would you just latch
her? I mean,
her?
A coochie ain't really, I don't know.
I don't,
really
I'm trying
necessarily
to,
the
I don't know
reaction you're going to get released.
I don't know what kind of sensitive areas y'all had this
I think grabbing somebody's nipple might be more comparable.
Well, I mean,
biting
a titty ain't that bad. Like, you know, so that ain't nothing to
me.
But like, if you're a man, like, we had a discussion about would you know what I'm saying, bite a nigga in his nuts if you was in a fight for, like, survival.
But why you got to bite it? You can punch it.
No, okay, let's say you can't punch it. Biting is your... You,
if your face there, why your hand ain't there?
Like, the nigga sitting on top of you beating your fucking head in. Bow, bow. And your head right here just boop, boop, boop. Dropping them dummies on you. And would you just latch on?
I could headbutt him or something, but I don't feel like you got to latch on to anybody's body parts. But I mean, if you feel like that's the only way you're going to survive, I say yes. I'm always going to survive. I'm going to always
do whatever
is necessary.
His nose, anywhere.
To survive. But as far as
thumb your eyes out, but I just can't bite no nigga in his nuts. Now, if it's, I'm sorry. Hey, I just can't do it. Like, it's about survival. I get it. But I still, like...
Yeah, my will to live is going to allow me to do anything.
But I'm just... If it's
the only options I have is do this thing and or die, I'm going to always choose that thing.
I mean,
like,
I'm pretty sure...
Regardless of what it is.
I'm saying this right now because I'm not in that situation that I wouldn't
bite
a nigga.
Because you're thinking about the act.
Yeah, but probably in that situation, you don't think about shit like that. You don't care about... You know what I'm saying? You don't care about none of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you're just trying
you
to go home.
Care.
But, you know, it was an interesting discussion. I just thought I'd ask you.
But I just think I would punch somebody in the coochie. And like I said, for me, I just feel like biting it, unless you latching on to the lips and trying to take that shit off, I just don't see that as being a horrible thing. But if somebody pinched me on my nipples the wrong way, that shit is crippling.
Wow.
So I would be more likely to say that would be the Achilles heel for me.
Okay. You hear that, fellas? Just bite them on their nipples when they get to acting up. That's crippling.
Whatever, man.
It's reading rap lyrics time. And since we're the number one hip hop podcast on Good Pods,
do the damn thing.
Let's read some rap lyrics over here. You know how we read them in our office voice, professional voice, our white voice, our congested voice. Don't fucking matter. Just read the lyrics. And this one's my turn, and it goes a little something like this. Damn, my PO. Y'all can tell I said it. Violate me if she won't. Gonna have to come catch me. Piss test me all you want. I'ma smoke when I'm ready. Pants hanging off me now, cause my pistol heavy. I ain't spoke to you yet, dawg, cause I ain't friendly. I drink yak, homie. Y'all drink Chris. I like busted babies. I don't want that bougie bitch. I never buy a Phantom. 28s can't fit. They say I'm fed bound. They call me high risk. I'm a full-blooded goon. Lames make me sick. You getting three or four birds? Where I'm from, we call you rich. I like to thank the hood, homie. You taught me how to whip. That is Plies from I'm So Hood.
And I love that man.
Plies is funny. He's hilarious.
He is hilarious.
We can do a reading rap lyrics with Plies every week.
Yeah.
Every week it could be Plies. But, you know, I want to switch it up sometime.
Yeah,
switch it up. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I want to give y'all a little medicine. Sometimes I just want to give y'all some candy. This week was some candy. Next week is Queen Germ time. It's probably going to be a little realer again.
Hey, you don't know what you're going to
get. You never know.
It might be another verse.
It might be another verse.
Another verse.
The third verse. The second verse.
Hey, however you want
to do it. It's going to be Glorilla, though.
It could be. Just know. Sound like you hating, but I think you a fan, my nigga.
Speaking of hating, it's HBCU confessional time. HBCU confessional. I go to the HBCU confessional Twitter, grab some tweets and read them Queen German. This one goes a little something like this. I like to piss in niggas' toilets before they eat me out. And the funny part is, they talk about how juicy my pussy is. LMAO, grambling. Queen Germ, react.
That's just gross. There's no reason for nobody to have to do it. Like, yeah, pee before you get ate out because you want to empty your bladder. But please go behind that with a little soap and water. I don't see the need. I mean, like, if somebody is eating your coochie, they don't want to taste piss. Even if you drink a lot of water and all this other shit people say they do, I don't believe nobody is saying that the shit is juicy unless they like eating pissy-ass pussy.
But these little young kids don't know no different. They don't wash good, so they probably think that's just how shit tastes. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but that ain't something I would be co-signing on. And I wouldn't tell nobody that shit. Like, why you think that that's cute? You're nasty. If you want to put your pissy pussy on somebody's face. Like, that don't even make sense to me. Like, just for the sake that niggas be wanting to come up and kiss you, I wouldn't want to put no piss on nobody's face.
Nigga might like that taste. Like,
I mean, maybe she like it too.
Mmm, that shit was straight, cub.
Yeah, that's
that shit
strange.
Was juicy.
That's strange. Yeah, niggas say wet is wet. Wet is wet.
I guess. These niggas today, boy, I swear. The HBCU confessions make me lose faith in humanity every week.
Every week.
Every week.
But don't lose faith in humanity.
I'm just saying. Certain ones.
I mean, you think that's lit? Somebody to be pissing on somebody's face?
I don't think that's lit. I think it's disgusting.
Oh, okay. I just want to know what your opinion was since you all. You say I've never asked.
Yeah. No, it's not about my opinion on this. It's all about you.
It's all about me. Okay.
Yes. I was told today that I'm just, what the nigga told me? I'm just a figurehead for the show and you're the actual talent, the star of the show.
And
I said figurehead.
People understand.
I don't even argue with that anymore. I just let them say what they want to say.
As long as you keep coming.
Exactly. Call it what you want.
We a team, so we ain't nothing.
Exactly. Well, let's keep it 100 time, Queen Germ. Do you have a keep it 100 for the people?
Yeah, I know it's yesterday was the first day of spring. And the people out here, you know, the birds and the whatever is chirping. And
at the time of this recording.
And all these things are going on, and a lot of places it's cold, but it will warm up, they say. But, you know, when this time of year, people want to be together. People want to do something, want to go somewhere. All of that stuff is all well and good, but tricking ain't easy, nor is it cheap. So make sure when y'all out here tricking and reuniting with all these folk out here that's frolicking in the springtime, that you get your money up. Because the people is making you pay at an ultimately high price.
100.
So make sure the people that you're tricking on really be, you know, feeling you. So don't go out there half-stepping, because it's a long ways to Christmas. So we're going to be doing this thing. You got to be doing it right. So my keep it 100. Tricking ain't easy, nor is it cheap.
Hey. My keep 100 like this. Turning a blind eye to fuckery is still turning a blind eye to fuckery.
100.
Okay, so if you got some friends, they doing fuck shit, and you don't check them on the fuck shit, you just as bad as them. If you a white person, you see a white person being mean to a black person doing some, you know, out of bounds shit, and you don't say nothing, you just as bad as them. You know what I'm saying? So just because you don't say nothing about the fuckery and you just turn a blind eye to it, and you know what I'm saying, you just as much in on the fuckery as the person that's doing the fuckery.
You really think so?
100%.
No.
So if I'm with y'all,
if it's like, if you just said I could get beat up, I mean, I could get molested.
I didn't say you get molested. That's being smart.
That's being smart.
Why I got to get my whole face?
Ignore the fact that these people over here doing some dumb shit. But like, why?
But if these your people, you supposed to check them.
Okay.
All right. Like, I wouldn't just let you. I mean, I might not in public do it. I do it in private. Like, hey, you know you was wrong for that shit. But you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna let you know. Like, you know, I'm with you. I'm with you in public. But I'm gonna chastise you in private. Type shit. You know what I'm saying? That's all it takes sometimes. Let people know, like, yo, that's some fuck shit you was doing, nigga. You know, you gotta let your friends know. You gotta hold people accountable. Your circle. Hold these people accountable for being upright citizens. You know what I'm saying? When they doing some crooked ass shit, call that shit the fuck out. Ain't that wrong with calling out fuck shit? If niggas call out fuck shit, maybe some of the fuck shit will stop. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying. So don't sit back and just observe the fuck shit in your circle. Call that shit out. Let them know. Like, yo, man, I can't have that fuck shit around me. You know what I'm saying? But as long as you don't, you're going to continue to have it. And that's my keeping 100. Winner or loser time, Queen Germ. Do you have any winners?
Oh, yes. In honor of Women's History Month, my winner this week has got to be Martha Wash, who is a singer who never got credit for Gonna Make You Sweat.
Winner!
The people... yeah.
Gonna Make You Sweat.
The one that is like a Milli Vanilli duo or somebody.
CNC Music Factory. Okay.
It's probably not even called that. That's probably
sweat?
Not the title of it.
Yeah, baby. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, okay.
Let the music take control.
I got you.
Okay, that song, whatever. Rhythm Take Control, something like that. But nonetheless, Martha Wash. And then she was also taken by a lot of different things. Because it was multiple songs. That's just one of the most popular ones that somebody dubbed. And the big thing was everybody loved her vocals, but she was a heavyset lady. And in that time, and so it was like people didn't give her credit for her part because of the fact that they would even perform her shows, perform her songs other places, and have people lip singing that were like what they thought was the ideal of beauty.
Wow, they Kelly Priced her.
Yeah. They just pimped her out and took her music, but didn't let her get her props for it. So
it was bad for big girls back in the day now. Yeah. I ain't gonna front. Like, big girls, y'all, this is the best time to be a big girl ever. Right now.
Yeah.
Right now. But like 20, 30 years
ago. All their life. Yeah, I mean, yeah, being big was not really the go-to thing.
Not the shit. But right now, it's okay. Yeah. You could be all kinds of damn shape and bigly. Nigga can't say nothing about you.
Well,
you
know they will,
saying? But... you can't say it out loud, goddamn. Them motherfuckers come for you. You know, they used to do little tricks, put you in the small little boxes on the video. Like, you was in the video, like, nigga, that my mama wanted to see me in the video. You got me singing on the picture on the wall, nigga. Like, they did Kelly Price in More Money, More Problems. Uh-huh. The girl in the doing and the doing and doing. They had some other girl in their lip singing. They ain't had a real girl. So they've been doing this for years.
Yeah.
But shout out to her, man. I'm glad you are getting your just due.
Yeah, Martha Wash.
Yes. My winner is Coach Jarvis, man.
Winner.
Coach Jarvis.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? He's my winner this week. Him and his wife, Azure. They got married this week. Great wedding. It was outside and indoor.
The wedding was outside.
The wedding was outside. Reception was indoor. The hood was out and about.
All over.
Niggas was wearing Chucks and Jordans.
It was cute.
And
I liked it.
And hey, it was nice. It was nice.
And it was green because it was St. Patrick's Day.
But it was Tom Brown colors. It was Tom Brown colors.
Whole lot of black Irish up in there.
Yes, yes. A fight almost happened, or a skirmish happened.
Yeah, a little something.
You know what I'm saying? It was all good, man. It was great.
Yeah, niggas was
niggering. Niggas was niggering. You know what I'm saying? And, that's all you can want to have is a great time at your wedding. And I believe they did. So y'all my winners this week for getting married.
Wish them many years of happiness and success and all that good stuff. It was nice.
You got any losers, Queen Jern?
Yes. My loser this week has got to be Bath & Body. No. I said Bath & Body Works, but it's actually Bed Bath & Beyond.
Loser.
Because at this point, they are supposed to be closing their doors and they're supposed to be doing some restructuring. I think it's supposed to be going through like a bankruptcy situation or whatever. But I'm sure they'll get repurposed and somebody is going to take on these things. Like, you know, they have a Home Goods type thing and Ross and all them type of places. So they probably are just, you know, repackage them and do something else with it. But right now, that's what the decision has been, that they are going to be cleaning off their shelves and, you know, closing their doors for good. So, Bed Bath & Beyond, they are my losers.
R.I.P. Bed Bath & Beyond, man. Yes. Who would have thought that a business just for Bed Bath & Beyond could not stand?
I mean, it was cute at first. You think you're selling so gimmicky, but y'all ain't, the shit too high.
You selling bed sheets and toilet covers, and you think you're going to open a whole store up with that shit.
And cool. Half the niggas got the same shit that they done had for years.
Exactly.
So, you know they ain't buying them shit every weekend. Better business model. Yeah. Should have had some weed up in there. Some other shit. Liquor. A bar in the back or somewhere.
IKEA sell food, nigga.
They do. They sure do. And yeah, it's a beautiful place. I loved it. I loved the one that we went to in Miami.
My losers is the Atlantic Coast Conference.
Loser.
March Madness started last Thursday, and the ACC had 5 teams starting out on Thursday. By Sunday night, they only had one. And the one team was Miami, who is not an original ACC team, but an expanded ACC team. So we had none of the traditional ACC powerhouses made it through the weekend. Duke didn't make it. NC State didn't make it. Hell, Carolina didn't even make the tournament. Virginia got put out on day one. Who else was left? Pitt and Miami were the ones that stuck around the longest. But yeah, ACC, y'all my losers for fielding all these weak-ass teams this year. And he ain't represent for the conference. And I knew Duke wasn't going to do it. As soon as I gave them hope a little bit, the motherfuckers let me down. Yeah. As soon as I was like, you know what? I ain't watched no games all year. I'm going to go ahead and I knew it. I should have just left them alone. But, you know, the heart wants what the heart wants.
It wants what it wants, y'all.
Yes. Well, Queen Jerm, looks like we have cleared the docket. It's time for me to ask you. Do you have any shout-outs?
And you know I do. I want to shout out Pam and the fam, the Johnson Five, the Lunch Crew, and the Front Porch, and of course my girl KY No Jelly, and anybody that's representing the 912. That's Savannah, Georgia, y'all. I represent my city, Nuggle.
Shout-outs go a little something like this. Shout-out to Be Easy, Sorry Right, GQ Blue, Short T.
Short T.
Ruler Myself, Rick James Bitch, RT3, my nigga J Will, CG24, Texas T, Light Skin Kanye, Drew from DC, Gerard from Boston, Sleazy the Black Farmer, Amazing AP, Nanita, Dragon Lady, Dom, Dot, No Man Gang in the building, everybody over that site to fuck with the boy, Dot Claw and all the gang, Peppy J from B-More, Stax, Steph from B-More, Stax, MJ Money 9S, all the podcasters to fuck with us. You got WV Uncommon Place. You got Jay Christian from the Cognac Room. You have Mario at the Sign of My Voice. Mind Triggers. Rod is Live. Who else? We got Timo and them. It's All Love Podcast. Any other podcast to fuck with us. Got the Black Pod Squad. You got 12 Cow. 12 Cow Podcast. You got Eclectic and the EDP. You have Pork L, Miss Minnie Meeks, The Cool Out Corner. You have Corey Dos Equis, I'm Something Else, the Power Lunch Hour Podcast. You have Mad Static and the Beats, Rhymes, and Body Slams. You have Uncle Dolomite, Too Much Game Podcast. You got Dr. Bracer Show, Black Pod Squad. Come check us out. Let's see. Daughter Dash, Papa Dash, anybody else to fuck with us. The Long Way, Short Way. No Way at All. Shout out to y'all, man. Oh, yeah. Shout out to Rock Jones. Shout out to Verb, man. Got everybody. That's it. All the shout outs are done. Queen Jerm, time to rate your show.
Since it's March, and March is Women's History Month, and I'm sure a whole lot of other things, we're going to just keep it simple and rate the show a 9.
Oh, man. Well, considering how many parlays I put in over the weekend, I'm going to make my show an 8 because Kobe wore 8, and I lost all 8 of my parlays, especially when I had a bad beat. Let me tell y'all, nigga, the spread was 5.5.
And we watched the shit go away.
The team I was pulling that had the money on that had the spread of 5.5 had to win by 9. I think it might have been Texas or some shit like that. I can't remember which team it was. They had to win by, they were up by 9. It was like 6-7 seconds left.
And it just went away.
These niggas let the nigga drive down the court, shoot a 3, and they fouled the nigga. What the point? Y'all should even been on the fucking court. Y'all supposed to let that nigga just walk down the court, do whatever the fuck you want to do. But y'all let this nigga pull up a 3, and y'all fouled a nigga, and the game ends with a 5-point motherfucking victory. Yes, you won.
But you didn't.
But you didn't win for us, nigga, because we needed that motherfucking point. Yeah, and then another game I had the over. Over was 143.5. It was Kansas and somebody, and the final score was 72-71. If you suck at math, that's 143 points. If you suck at math, I needed them to score 144 points. And that's how the motherfucking game
ended. And it went down.
Yes. It was tied up. It was tied up. And I was like, let's just let this go to overtime. I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Some bitch got to get a score and other people can't score. Sorry, ass niggas. Damn.
And you hit that money.
Yeah. So, it's time to remind y'all, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe to the Frocast on any podcast reader. Don't forget about our voicemail that you can call in at 347-201-2572. Don't forget about our Patreon. You can join for as little as a dollar. Don't forget to buy a fucking shirt, bitch. Did I say the phone number early in the show? I can't remember if I did or not. I probably did. But yo, it's time to get out of here. It's getting late. I might go exercise. I don't know.
You just want to run off on
me. I mean, I run off on the plug twice. We out. On behalf of everyone here in Nappy Afro Studios, it's your boy King Germ.
And it's your girl Queen Germ.
And this is the Frocast, and we out this bitch, man. Peace.
Peace.
That's the end of the show. Go to nappyafro.com for more information. Or not. It's your loss.
NappyAfro.com